Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of The Ties That Bind. This is the second episode of our new premiere show, formerly called Sex Talk. It's a kinder, gentler show where we reach out to all parts of the globe and seek common elements with our fellow man in every nation. And tonight we explore... We have a special visitor from Tom. Tom is our foreign correspondent. He's a resident of Switzerland, isn't that right, Tom?
Yeah, that's correct.
And Tom and I are going to discuss community standards, various notions of sexuality in both the United States and abroad, differing notions of sexual repression, sexual openness, and so on, the media, and obscenity, all in tonight's program. Sorry for starting a little bit late. I was having a bad hair day, but please, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns from our international correspondent, Tom, please call us in the studio at 268-WRCT or 621-9728. So, Tom, welcome to the program. I believe this is your first time on the show?
Yeah, it's first time on Loveline Sex Talk, and what's the name of the more gentler show?
The Ties That Bind.
The Ties That Bind, okay.
So we're really glad to have you. Now, how did we want to? Did we want to start by talking about your run-in with the? We'll start with a little background. Tom was a long-time member of the Carnegie Mellon community. I believe you were here for a number of years.
From 89 to 96.
Right, almost as long as I've been here, and after your career as a graduate student here at Carnegie Mellon, you went back home to Switzerland to pursue a job in academia, and. And it was there that your liberal attitudes got you in trouble with the Swiss police and almost got you almost made you lose your job, go to jail, and be arrested. Is that approximately right?
Yeah, or being chased by some skinheads over in Europe. That's the other option that can do you more physical harm than even lawyers can do.
Wow, so you've got university lawyers on one hand chasing on skinheads at the other. So let's turn the pages back a few pages and tell us from the beginning what happened. What was going on there?
No, the thing was, I was working here in the U.S. for a while about the whole thing. I mean, the long time graduate student will still remember when CMU was completely in the news for censoring away everything below the belt line from the internet, and that really impressed me and how this whole thing turned out. The whole campaign here with the Martyrim study, where CMU made really bad press for not living up to academic standards, and then the next day, the whole press was here, that was really impressing me. And when I saw that my university will act in the same way, I started to started criticizing them on the whole thing. And
so just to interrupt you, just to give our viewers a little background, the Martyrim affair was an undergraduate working here did a study called Marketing Pornography on the Information Superhighway, and in it he discussed how easy it was to get pornography, how statistics on how full the internet was of pornography, and so on. And this study was criticized widely for both being unscientific, I think, and using inappropriate data collection methods. That is, collecting data about people's user profiles and people's surfing patterns, you know, without their knowledge. I think that's right.
Yeah, and it was just badly done.
And so somebody in the university, one of the administrators, I forget who, decided I don't know if this was an independent decision or if it was because of the study, they decided to ban the news groups that supplied pornographic pictures. On the internet, there's this system called Usenet, which delivers bulletin boards and pictures and so on. And so the entire alt binaries.pictures tree was deleted from our news servers, I think, or banned from our news servers. That sounds right.
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't really aware, but I was really aware of the impact. The next day, CMU was even more in the headlines for being the censoring place of the nation. And that really impressed me. I mean, the big reaction, the student demonstration in front of Warner Hall, and that I really remember that, and I saw a red flag when my university a couple of years later tried to do the same, tried to censor away the whole part of the internet.
So tell us a little bit about that. The name of this university was what?
That is a Swiss state university, ETH in Zurich.
Uh-huh. And you were already...
I was already on faculty there. I was actually asked by the entire faculty to draft some statements about the proposed policy. So it was very, very highly official.
Interesting. And so where did that lead next? This is... When did the skinheads and police and dogs show up at your door?
The thing is that pornography in Europe, soft pornography, is completely boring because whenever you turn on the TV after 10 o'clock, I mean, the TV is full of those things. I mean, it's full of NC-17 movies and all that stuff. So pornography wouldn't get anybody in Europe excited in the moment.
Interesting. This is not just in America, there's a difference between cable and broadcast television. So you're talking about normal broadcast television that everybody gets,
yes.
The major channels.
I'm talking about broadcast television that you don't have to subscribe to.
So after 10, it's like Porn City, basically.
It's not Porn City. I mean, it's soft porn city.
So I was trying to figure out what the difference between soft porn and hard core porn is. So I guess they're showing people having sex, but you don't get a lot of close-ups of.
No close-ups. It's the usual thing that I mean, you can't get by with an NC-17 rating with close-ups. I mean, then you get an X or a triple X rating.
Okay, well, hang on. So I mean, actually, just to correct you, I mean, the official motion picture industry ratings are. I forget what they are anymore. G, PG-13, R, and NC-17. X is not an official rating. It's a rating that porn producers put on their product as a form of marketing. X or double X or triple X, right? But the official adult rating of the movie industry is NC-17, and it usually means either violent or sexual content, or some other kind of potentially questionable content. And so. So, but they're not just showing NC-17 movies, like ultra graphic movies. They're actually showing, you know. The question I have is like, in America, when you turn on a cable softcore station at like 5 in the morning, you get sort of soft focus, you can sort of see fuzzy bodies in the background having sex, but it's not really super kinky. I mean, the question is are there water sports going on these channels? You know, do you know what water sports are? Do you have that?
Pardon?
Do you know what water sports are? Do you have that word in your Swiss terminology?
No.
It's when one person urinates on the other.
No. You don't have those things. But it's regular, but it's not just with softener lenses and other Hamilton operators or stuff. It's normal TV. It's normal TV. I mean, normally the shows are quite boring because there is only a limited amount of supplies there. But let's go back to the real issue, not getting distracted too much with the favorite topic of this show. Let's go back to the real issue. The thing is, you can't get anybody excited with the pornography that exists on the internet, but you can get people very excited with things that are illegal under the First Amendment, under free speech, with political propaganda, because Europe is very, very obnoxious about its history. I mean, even people who did not take part much in that history, like Switzerland, are extremely obnoxious, and we have very, very strict anti-racism laws, like almost as strict as some southern states have anti-pornography laws. That similarity struck me, actually. I see this law reads exactly like a Pennsylvania obscenity law.
Interesting. I hardly consider Pennsylvania a southern state, but I mean, it's not like we're... Mississippi.
No. But even the obscenity law we had back in 95 or 94 when the RIM thing was very, very, very strict. I mean, even helping anybody to spread this kind of material was under severe penalties.
I see. So, so the kinds of things that you're talking about are fascist symbols or Nazi literature or things like that, right?
Oh, yes, there are certain words that are forbidden. There are certain symbols that are forbidden. I mean, it's pretty much like in the pornography business.
Are there really words that are forbidden? Like, are there words that are forbidden there that are not forbidden here?
Yeah, there are words. I mean, we could I could use them even on the air, but here, but I could not. But like the statement, the Heil Hitler statement is forbidden as a propaganda thing. There are even like opinions that are forbidden, like you are not allowed to publicly deny any Holocaust things. And immediately, you don't go to jail, but you immediately get fines for making such a statement.
I see. And you're right. So what are people's views on that kind of thing? I mean, here we find those kind of statements morally objectionable, but we cherish our free speech freedoms so dear that we permit them legally because they're in the free speech, no matter how repulsive, is enshrined in our Constitution. So does the general populace there think that these kinds of laws are appropriate or necessary?
That's the interesting part, too. I mean, you have this emotional reaction that you find here in the United States against pornography where some people start to become extremely anxious and just stop thinking when those reproductive topics come up. I have observed this like
not just reproductive topics, please. Your heteronormative attitudes are offensive.
Yeah,
playing
topics. I mean, and so as soon as those things come up, certain people just stop thinking here. They just can't think clearly anymore. And I have seen a very similar reaction to that. But the moment you mention that, people could no longer think about the internet, about the global span, can no longer think that this thing might be completely legal somewhere else, the difference between what is a citation and what is content about commented statement and all that stuff. People just can't think clearly, just react in a refusal like some people do here in this country.
That's very interesting.
It comes to things below the belt line.
So I think I read eBay had a problem with somebody was trying to sell Nazi or fascist memorabilia on eBay, and the German government wanted to suppress that content or keep eBay from coming into the country at all. Do you remember a story like that?
Yeah, that's the typical thing. I mean, Amazon.com had the problem let me see, was it Amazon? One of the big online bookstores is of course selling Hitler's historic book of his propaganda war in an English translation. The German ones you can't sell for copyright reasons. The copyright are with the state of Bavaria, and you can't sell it anywhere. They would not permit. They would not give you the copyright. But the English translation is available. But so it was considered to be very offensive because it's a forbidden book in Europe, and you are not allowed to read it, to sell it, to do anything with it. And the online stores were just shipping it to Germany.
I see. Wow. So bringing this back to your personal experience, let's continue on from there. So there you were. can you continue telling the story from this issue with you being at the university? You were asked to be in these committees to help draft their policies.
Yeah, I did a school book example featuring two links showing what community standards mean. I mean, I had one link to one of the soft porn jump stations, actually to one of the porn jump stations, has nothing to do, but there was no content there, just links where you could see, you could easily find out how much the scope of the whole porn on the internet was. And that one was completely uninteresting to anybody. So it barely got any mentioning. And the second link was to a website of how do you call the people fighting against racism, fighting for citizens' rights? I forgot the term in the moment.
I'm drawing a blank too, but so I mean, was it specifically an anti-Semitic group, or
it was specifically a website that exposed all kinds of racism on the internet.
Okay.
So it was a civil rights activist who was exposing all these hate groups and was exposing all the hate speech on the internet, and I referenced to this website to show people, look, this is something somewhere else in the world, these things exist, and that is the fact on the internet. And for this indirect reference, I got nailed. I got accused by our Swiss district attorney. I got accused of spreading racist speech, and of course I didn't get accused of anything for the soft porn site. I mean, some people thought that this is offensive, a professor doing that, but legally nothing with it. It's community standards, but I got into the biggest possible legal troubles for referencing an American civil rights activist exposing Nazi websites while nobody cared about my links about pornography.
Just to be clear, you didn't actually copy any content onto your server or post any information yourself.
No, I was actually giving a link to a link. I was not even giving a direct link. So that.
And your link, at least in the porn case, you had a link directly to a porn site. In the racist speech case, you had a link to someone who is presumably on, you know, the side of morality. You were on a side for...
Yeah, sure, on the side of morality. Of course, I couldn't find an anti-sex site, so I had to put the link to one of those people in California to somebody doing a station linking all the porn sites. I've seen her on a European TV show recently, so the lady who's running the Jump Station website.
Who are we talking about here? This is like, you're talking about like Danny's hard drive? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. You've seen Danny, or what's her name?
Yes, she is. She was featured on German TV recently. So, I mean, the sex people, they become TV celebrities, but the people who criticize racist speech, they probably go to jail. So that's community standards.
Well, so I mean, this sounds completely irrational, right? I mean, nobody with even the smallest glimmer of intelligence could possibly think that you're that you were racist for posting a link to an anti-racist site, right? I mean, that's like something that would happen in a backwards world, right? I mean, that's completely inverted from your actual intent.
But as I said, when these topics come up, people stop thinking. I mean, people stop really thinking. The university president did a press release and says we are not tolerating any racism. We are not tolerating any racist member to our university. We are probably going to fire him. I mean, in public. And I was the convicted racist the next day in the newspapers.
Okay, so tell me how that happened. Did reporters show up at your home? Was your picture plastered in Das Bild or whatever the sort of?
I was shaken out of the bed by calls of the radio station at 5 a.m. And the afternoon I had all TV stations there.
Really? I mean, there's other reporters at your house, or what do you mean?
Not at my house, but at my office. So.
and so what happened next? I mean,
it was fun. I mean, I gave some statements and apologized for offending anybody by mentioning the presence of racist content on the internet. And I mean, some TV stations were really, we had some very new private TV stations that are small operations that just opened the newscast, and they did some really nasty things. I mean, they used image processing techniques to put Hitler crosses all over my office. I couldn't believe it, that they would forge the image content by image processing. I was thinking of suing them afterwards. I mean, just to put morality back into the media scene over there, but the two TV stations went out of business in the meantime. It was this kind of experimental free TV, but I mean, it was quite scary seeing a newscast in the evening, seeing your face and seeing Hitler crosses on all the screens in your laboratory that were not there when they filmed.
Well, right. I mean, that's an incredible distortion of the situation.
Oh, yeah, but in the moment, actually, that is what happens. What happens? I mean, there it was the big deregulation of media going on, and media has not yet self-regulated. So there were two TV stations competing to that for publicity that month. I mean, one of them also had a good record in terms of they broadcast a couple of hardcore movies against all regulations and everything. But as I said, there's nothing to sue anymore. It went out of business after a month or so.
So are they covered, by the way, by the same law about depicting swastikas on television? I mean,
oh, yeah, they are all covered by the same laws, but the laws were just broken there.
I see. So did you? So usually, now in my experience, it's usually the case with when the university president decides there's a scandal or even a whiff of scandal, the professor ends up getting fined or the professor ends up losing his job even if he was in the right. I mean, universities are sort of notoriously kind of scandal averse, and so the way I would expect the story to end is that even though you were right, you'd lose your job, and that
we'll
would be
see.
It. I was just watching on 60 Minutes. I don't know if you watched 60 Minutes. There was this business professor at Emory University who was filmed on tape sort of gambling and dancing down a hallway. And he was fired the next day because the university suspected him of a widespread vandalism of the campus. Of all these, there have been all these scratches and marks in the wood and kick marks in the walls and things. And they blamed it all on him. Because of this shot on a hidden camera of him kind of pirouetting down the hallway. And, you know, it looks like he may have kicked the wall. I mean, my point is that even though the evidence of this hidden camera was hardly conclusive, and to most people it might look like he was just being a fool or a freak, but it didn't look like he was actively vandalizing anything, the university president fired him anyway. And so I guess what you're saying is, sorry about that tangent. I guess what you're saying is that in your case at least, the question is still up in the air. Or
yeah,
mean if the university fired you, would you have a cause to, you know, sue them too?
No, actually, Europe is not that. The legal stuff for lawsuits are not that. It's completely different the culture, so you would not go to court. But it's kind of shocking. I mean, I have my questions whether such a university has any academic integrity. I mean, suing somebody, firing somebody for doing something obviously wrong is one thing. But I mean, free speech issues should be dealt a little bit more carefully at universities. I mean,
well, certainly. I mean, I think at least here at some places at least, you know, academic freedom is sort of the highest.
Oh, yeah, that was the big problem Carnegie Mellon had back in 94 or when the Rimsing went over there. I mean, Marty Rinn went to Ted Koppel that week, you know, mm-hmm. and the whole country was pointing at CMU for censoring and for not respecting the free speech. And that did not happen over in Europe. That was some disappointment of mine. I would have expected that something similar would happen. Actually, I got a lot of online press that says, you can't just outlaw links. I mean, if you outlaw links, then you can outlaw the internet, you know. Mm-hmm. If suddenly, like, an indirect link to something somewhere else in the world should be illegal, that just can't go on.
Well, I mean, I guess there's a question of degree, too. After all, most of the net is connected, and so you can probably get from, you know, the Teletubbies homepage to some kind of snuff porn website in a matter of...
Yeah, don't you recall we did that to university, to U.S. presidential candidates? I mean, there was the porn distance. That means how many clicks do you take from a president's website or from his homepage to a porn site, you know? And we had these discussions about which candidate had a closer web distance than the other candidates. I think the U.S. is now tired. I mean, we are going to have elections soon, and I haven't heard anything like that in the U.S. so far.
No. I wonder. Yeah, it does sort of make you wonder what the next web metric should be. Some fresh new web metric about the candidates. You know, maybe some enterprising person can download the source code, the HTML from George W. Bush's homepage, and use the Bible code to search for hidden messages in the HTML. You know, if it turns out that you can find.
Yeah, you could do that, or having some like anonymized links to do campaign funding would also be very, very touch issue. I mean, think of like putting a full-fledged e-commerce anonymizer there to make your donations. I mean, that could trigger a scandal nowadays. But I mean, just a clicking distance of 6 or 7 to a sex homepage, that's no longer a topic that's of interest here in this country.
That's interesting. So in general, what would you say now that you've sort of immersed yourself in both cultures? You know, how might you compare, you know, this one with the Europeans? I'm sort of curious about, you know, we talked about this a couple of times. There's this sort of standard argument that that the American puritanical work ethic comes from the fact that we're so sexually repressed. Europeans are more sexually free and they're also lazier. You know, you're here right now and you can dispel this myth for us and for our millions of listeners once and for all. What are your views on this?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, while I was here, I grew up in Europe, and as I came here, I always had, like, I found this kind of, like, really uptight behavior of certain people. I mean, some of them my best friends here that I just started seeing this uptight behavior here. I found that quite ridiculous, and I got upset about this thing here. But then, on the other hand, I learned this whole thing how much that First Amendment meant to Americans. I mean, in this whole discussions and how these things are carefully traded off. So I started to get upset about having a constitution. Actually, we have since this January this year, Switzerland has a new constitution where there is a free speech article in there. There is free teaching. Free science is guaranteed everything by the Constitution. And then finally you see the people, the justice system is not living by those principles. They are trading off free speech for nothing. I mean, for a remote chance of having hatred around and having that stuff around. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hate everything that's racist, and there is plenty of racism around in Europe. It's hidden. It's spread out, but it's certainly not a thing that's primarily due to press and media. It's something that's in the pubs, in the table, people having pub conversations and making racist remarks and all that stuff. So I like that this country here has a big sensitivity to these things and also has the big value of free speech, and they really do that seriously here and traded that off, and that was a big asset when regulating the internet.
So earlier you said that you were surprised at some of your friends. What were the things that annoyed you about your American friends, that they were uptight about certain things? Can you give me an example of American uptightness?
Yeah, some of those things. I mean, there are some older generations where an unmarried couple still have to do those funny games of sleeping in different corners of a house when they visit relatives and all and such things. Well, in Europe, you are pretty loose about those things.
I see.
I mean, it's not since that a long time. I mean, it's a more recent development.
If our listeners have any questions, comments, or concerns to share with our international correspondent, Tom, please do call in. You've got about 12 minutes. The numbers in the station are 621-9728, 268-9728. And if you're calling from overseas, country code 1, area code 412-621-9728. So, where were we?
So you have an internet a live internet broadcast of this show?
We do indeed. Yes, we do. In fact, I mean, the show has all of the latest technological breakthroughs. Our homepage is – the homepage for the station is WRCT.org, and the homepage for this show is sextalk.wrct.org. I've been meaning to get – now that the show's changed from Sex Talk to The Ties That Bind, I've been meaning to get a changing the domain name, but we haven't been there yet. So it's still sextalk.wrct.org. But if you go to wct.org, you can click on the streaming link. We stream via MP3 to anyone who cares to listen. And also, all the shows are archived forever on the web. And
okay,
so,
but there you are again. You are hitting up against community standards. So what are you doing if you violate the rules of some remote country on broadcasting? I mean, here in the U.S., it's pretty simple. I mean, I hold an FCC license, so I had to learn the 13 dirty words that I am never going to say on the air. So,
see that's the thing that confused me when you mentioned this earlier. You said of 13 dirty words. I've only been trained on these 7 dirty words from the FCC. Are there additional dirty words in Germany that I don't know?
Yeah, sure. You want me to mention them?
Well, probably,
no, I have to actually admit to using a cheat sheet on my amateur radio exam for correctly reproducing those dirty words that are not allowed to be used over there. So you know 7. I think it was 13 dirty words that we were required to learn for our.
And they actually tested you on this. You actually had to write them down, or fill out. Was there a multiple choice test that you had?
It was a multiple choice.
So
it was a multiple
choice. Which of the following are not part of the officially mandated dirty words? I mean, it's actually surprising. It would surprise me to see a government document.
I don't recall the test question anymore. You can go to an amateur radio exam handbook and figure out. I just recall having them in the handbook and having them to learn. And I recall discussing it with Eric Altman, one of the longtime directors of WRCT. It was like we were of W3VC, the ham two-way broadcaster, the ham two-way radio. Radio stations, so I was a station manager up there. So we were just talking about all those FCC requirements, and of course those dirty words is a different list in Europe. So, and what are you doing when you are just transmitting one of those shows straight from here, from the studio of a U.S. campus down to Europe? I mean, it's sort of very very interesting legal questions.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it would be interesting to sort of compile, you know, every nation's notion of dirty words. I suppose in, you know, Saudi Arabia or Iraq, you know, like, you know, woman's inner thigh might be a dirty word, right? Or
yeah, we probably have a long list there.
So what's your next step? Are you going to stay in Europe for a while? Do you wish you were back in this country? I'm sort of wondering, like I said, someone who's lived in both places for a long time and had been in the educational system for both places, where would you rather be, or where do you see yourself in the long run?
Actually, I underestimated after living like for 8 years here, or it was actually more. I had a job before I came to Carnegie Mellon here in the U.S. I underestimated how misfit you are re-immigrating your own country, and it's quite brutal actually because you speak the local language. I mean, we speak a really local dialect there, so everybody thinks I'm genuinely Swiss when I speak. I mean, I could be confused for a German or anything. I mean, they can tell the village or the place I'm coming from my accent and my dialect, and so everybody thinks you are completely normal. But after so many years abroad, you start to behave not so normally, like doing a little bit provocative things on free speech, which I learned is inappropriate there. I mean, I every once in a while had like provocations here, like yeah I I remember getting booked by campus police once for not wearing enough textile.
I heard this. You were what were you doing? Streaking nude across the cut or something?
No, not that far. But I wore much more than an average European wears on a beach, you know. But it was not. It was a little bit below Pennsylvania standards.
Okay, so Europeans are always letting their genitals and breasts flap out at the beaches. I've been to beaches in Germany. At least the FKK beaches, you know, these nude beaches.
The FKKs are like a consent among the people. It was very popular in Eastern Germany, where people had this liberal attitude about sex since a much longer time than in the rest of Western Europe. Hmm. And they defended it, actually. And so in Eastern Germany, there were just beaches where the consensus was nothing required to wear. Mm-hmm. And that was
sexual activity permitted? Because one of the beaches I was witnessing, there were these three.
It had nothing to do. It was not about sexual provocation.
One of the beaches I was at, there were these three men all in a group, and they were all fondling each other pretty openly, and I was wondering if that was part of.
That's not part of the convention. That was probably pushing the limits.
Well, maybe I just dreamed of that. But
there is something like responsibility, and I mean there are provocations in every culture, and I mean,
and certainly nudism is an easier sell than sexuality, you know, for sure. I mean, the nudist colonies here certainly are all about nudism and, you know, having your skin in direct contact with nature rather than sex. But so back to this incident with the police. There you were in Wien Hall. What were you wearing? Like a G-string, like a little pouch? What was the?
No. Somebody actually put an espresso a cappuccino fresh from the machine onto my pants.
Okay.
And my reaction was a European one. I mean, these pants are burning me, so let them take off. And that was too much for CMU standards.
Oh, see, what were you wearing? You were wearing underneath the little studded underwear.
Yeah, sure.
I was wearing
underneath.
Well, exactly what were you wearing?
Proper attire.
We need to know what your underwear looked like in order to decide whether this conforms to American community standards. So you ripped off your pants, and underneath you were wearing, I assume, not a big, broad kind of Fruit of the Loom underwear,
it wasn't pink, and it wasn't anything, but just normal, plain underwear.
Your butt cheeks were showing?
Should we talk about percentages here?
Yes, because you're not painting a complete enough verbal picture for my listeners.
Oh, sure.
Are you wearing the same kind of underwear now? You could show me right now in the studio, and then I could judge you are?
Yeah,
I could judge by American community standards. All right, let's see.
Okay.
Pretend I poured a cappuccino down your pants. We're making radio history here. Let's see the underwear, and then I can judge.
Okay, so what's your judgment?
Okay, so you're unzipping here. now, keep going here. You've stopped. Let's see the underwear. You can also see my underwear.
He needs to see the underwear. Okay, look, what would you say that is by you? That is nothing.
Let's see the other side. I have to look at your bulge. So it looks to me like pretty normal kind of American bikini underwear, but a little, nothing especially. And so were you prancing? Was there any prancing?
No, I was sitting there and waiting for the pants to cool off.
Okay.
But I
were
mean,
you touching
we see that.
Women that were walking by and leering at them?
No, not like that. But you can see that something that is considered as completely normal behavior in one continent is considered not so normal behavior in another.
Well, but is that really true? Like, if you're at a Swiss Starbucks and you poured coffee in your pants, it would be completely normal inside the cafe to whip off your pants and sit there in your underwear? I mean, would that be?
It was outside. It would be completely normal, like in a beer tent or some place there.
I see. Interesting.
I mean, it wouldn't be normal that you actually throw a full cup of hot coffee into your lap in a fine eatery or in a coffee shop in Vienna or something.
Well, that part I understand actually, but you know, it seems like the heat retaining qualities of coffee or such. It probably cooled off right away anyway. Are you sure you didn't take off your pants just to get a cheap thrill out of being a nudist? And
no, I wasn't thinking of making it to Sefer through Cory or something like that. I wasn't provoking any Cory. Also, he could see the scene of the event from his office. I wasn't thinking of that. I was merely thinking of something that really burned my skin.
Do you still have scars from that?
No,
or
no,
emotional
no.
scars, at least?
No.
So did you get a citation?
Except for some entries in the Sefer archives or so. There is nothing left.
Wow.
No psychological damage, nothing.
We'll have to, I'll have to take a look at those and see. I find this very surprising. So what else? We only have a few minutes remaining. Callers, if you're desperate to ask Tom about his underwear or any other facet of his personality, please call in 621-9728 or 268-9728. I didn't say that right. 268-9728. Okay, so in my final few moments of the show, I want to do with this thing that I usually do, which is I test the psychic abilities of my guests. And so... So, I don't know why you just squeezed the bulge in your pants when I said that there.
I was just thinking of giving the hint. I mean, I'm a little bit surprised that we do not have any callers. So, so I was thinking of why don't we tell our listeners to program this number to their cell phones so that they can just push a button and they are on the air, you know?
I try not to control every aspect of my listeners' lives. I assume they have some tiny glimmer of intelligence in their lizard-like rat lizard brains, and they can, program their cell phones themselves. But I'll give you all a chance. I'll say the numbers really slowly for next time. 621-9728. So who's it going to be, Bush or Gore, in the fall elections, and why? I guess today we just heard Gore picked Cheney as his. Is that right?
No. Now you are mixing up your politics here.
What?
Bush picked Cheney.
who did Bush pick as his running mate?
I think Cheney.
Okay, so that's what I thought I said. So anyway. Who's it going to be, Bush or Gore, in the fall election? Your psychic abilities, which you've been 100% correct in all your predictions in the past. How do you call the U.S. elections in the fall, even though you're not yourself eligible to participate in the great experiment that is American freedom?
We will be watching this experiment. I would say economy wins, so it's going to be another 4 years of Gore.
Interesting. Our producer is, shocked by that notion. So who do you think of Bush or Gore is more likely to engage in a Swiss-style hot tub orgy on national television during the softcore hours after 10 p.m.? That's kind of...
Certainly, I mean, if Bush did it, it would be a much better provocation. I mean... So it would be a much better surprise factor if we had...
Yeah, unfortunately, he's got this kind of uneasy relationship with the kind of Christian family values groups. So I think he'd lose their support if he frolicked with the...
Sure, but you just need to add more hot water in a jacuzzi. Maybe he loses all these political rationales.
Like you with, I guess hot liquids cause all, anyway. I mean, you yourself had a hot liquid was the means by which you achieved your own sexual freedom there on the Whedon patio so many years ago. But anyway, we're out of time. Sorry that was such a fractured comment. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you, Tom from Switzerland, so much for joining us. Next up, Andrew. Thanks for listening and good night.